This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
And we've got a few people away this morning, and I would think that's because it's hot. So I thought that we would just cover a pretty light topic. Is that me talking too loud, Dave? You know, I get excited. They told me during worship team this morning I had to use the trombone microphone. Did I do okay? Thank you. I can't promise that will happen now. We're going to cover a light topic this morning because it's hot. I thought that we would talk about the meaning of life. You up for that? You with me? Okay, we're going to talk about the most asked question in history. What is the meaning of life? Why are we here? Why are we here? Why are you here? What is the purpose? What's the meaning of it all? Easy peasy. Let's look at Genesis. Let's start at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Okay. We will, however, start at verse 26 because this is the part that's talking about us. And this piece of scripture, this passage of scripture, holds in it God's original plan and purpose for mankind, and it has in it your job description. Okay? I like things pretty black and white. I like it written down. I like people to tell me where I have to be, what I have to do. I'm a bit of a rules girl. I like it in order most of the time. Most of the time I like that. So I like it that God has written it down. This is what I was thinking when I created you. This was my purpose, and this is what I want you to do while you're here. Genesis chapter 1 verses 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so." Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we can see that God's plan in creating earth, and it involves our job description, he created earth to give it to us. That's why he created earth. He wanted to have fellowship with children. He created earth, he gave it to us, and our job description is to have dominion, to fill the earth, multiply, and to subdue the earth. We're talking about kingdom. David has a theme happening at the moment talking about kingdom. And so I thought, if we're going to be talking about kingdom and you're going to be hearing the word kingdom a lot, you need to understand what that actually means when we're talking about, we need to understand the kingdom of God. The word dominion is the same word that is used later on in the Bible in Matthew to talk about kingdom. And the meaning of that word is to prevail, to reign, to rule, to have sovereignty over. That's what God has given us. We're to be fruitful, we're to multiply, we're to fill the earth, and we're to subdue it. And God saw it all. He saw his design, he saw his creation, and he was very happy with it. It was perfect. That's how it was meant to be. Then the fall. Man lost his authority to rule the earth. he lost it through disobedience. So here we are, God's perfect plan, creates the earth, gives it to his children. There you go. It's yours. Have it. Rule over it. Make it bigger and better and go and multiply. And I'm really happy with what I've done. So go and make more of that. And then the fall. Man lost his, we lost our authority to do that. Through disobedience, we broke the contract. We broke the contract that God had set out before us. Man's realm, the realm that we'd been given to rule over, was now under a curse. Everything was cursed. The animals were cursed, the serpent was cursed, the woman was cursed, the man was cursed, the earth was cursed, all because of the fall and our disobedience. And we lost any authority, any rights that we had, we gave it away. However, even in the middle of this tragic story, how tragic is that to be given such a gift and to throw it away through disobedience? However, even in the middle of this tragic scene, God's already set in place the plan to bring about the restoration of that which was lost. We lost dominion. And his plan, right through the Bible and what he preached about, the whole deal is about us getting back dominion. It's about his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what the whole deal is about. Let's fast forward to Matthew. So we started in Genesis. We're going to fast forward right through to Matthew, and I want us to go to Matthew chapter 3. We're not going to read it, but I want you to have it there. You know, this is where we're at, because we're at John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is here, and he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So since Genesis and the fall, we've been in the wilderness. Mankind was in the wilderness. It was all wilderness. So John the Baptist is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. And what is he saying? Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. What does John the Baptist say? He doesn't say, repent and go and build a church and gather together and worship God and do all those things. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here it is. He's saying right from the beginning of time, when man gave away his right to rule, man gave away kingdom, it's coming back. Get ready. Here it is. It's right here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then what happens? Jesus arrives. He's baptized by John. And then he goes straight to the wilderness. And he faces 40 days in the wilderness. We all know this sequence of events. He faces 40 days in the wilderness. What happens there? It's the devil's last ditch attempt to hang on to the kingdom. He knows, the devil knows, the king has come, my time is up, I want to hang on to this kingdom here. It's his last ditch effort. He tries everything. He even says to Jesus, because he had every right to say this, I will give you the kingdoms of the world because they belong to him. We gave them to him. We did that. We gave that to Satan. We gave him our authority. We handed the deed over to him and said, so he had every right to say to Jesus, I will give you what belongs to me. I will give you the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus knew that it wasn't about that. It wasn't about the earth. What Jesus came to restore was not about a physical kingdom. It wasn't about the glory that would be given to him. Tim touched on it at communion. You know, when Jesus could have brought down legions of angels when they tried to arrest him in the garden. He says that in the Bible. You're right, I am a king and I could bring legions, armies of angels, but that's not what I'm here for. I'm here for a different kingdom. He resists the devil, and now I want to look at the first thing Jesus says. So I want you to go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. So Jesus comes, he's baptized, he goes into the wilderness, he resists the devil's last-ditch attempt to take back the kingdom, and these are the first words that come out of his mouth. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's the whole deal. That's what the whole rest of the Bible is about, teaching us about the kingdom. Jesus, in Matthew 18:11, he tells us exactly why he came. He says, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." What was lost? Kingdom was lost. And therefore everything else was lost. Yes, we often think Jesus came to save us because we were lost. Well, that's true, because we gave up our kingdom. We gave up all our rights, all our authority. He came to restore kingdom. The reason Jesus came and died on the cross was to give back the kingdom. He did not come to bring us a religion. And I hate to tell you, he didn't come to bring Christianity. He didn't come to earth to bring church. He didn't come even to teach us how to worship or any of those things. He came and he said, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and he wanted us to get kingdom. The word kingdom in the New Testament is the word basileia, and it means the same thing: royalty, a realm, rule, reign. God's original plan was that man would have rule and reign on the earth. And guess what? He didn't come to earth so that we could go to heaven. That's not why he came. His original plan was never for us to be in heaven. He came to create, he created the earth. If he wanted us to be in heaven with him, why did he create the earth in the beginning and make it perfect? And his plan for us was to be there and to rule and reign. You're looking at me a bit weird, but it's true. In the beginning, he created the earth and he made it perfect, just the way he wanted it to be. And he said, "And I want you to be here on the earth and rule it and reign it and subdue it and multiply and do more of what I've done, because I've started giving you the seed and it's a good thing, and you go and spread it." So he didn't, his plan was never for us to be in heaven with him. And when he came back to restore kingdom, that's what he came back to give us. "I created this earth for you and I want you to have it." That's the price Jesus came back to pay, to restore our fallen state. Yes, so that everything we lost everything at the fall. When we handed over that deed to Satan, we lost it all. Our relationship with God, we couldn't get close to him. All of the things that we know to be true, all of those things. But guess what? You're not here just to make it till it's time to go to heaven. How often do we feel, "I just got to hang on, get me out of here"? If you want to go to heaven, I was saying this to David during the week, and I don't suggest, I'm not saying any of you should do this, but it's really easy to get to heaven. Just walk out in front of a bus and you'll be there. You know what's hard? Staying here. That's the hard bit. If God wanted us in heaven, we could be there like that. That's not his plan. That's not the plan. Jesus even prayed it, John 17. "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." Jesus didn't. He said, "I don't want you, Father, to take them out." He's talking about the disciples. "I don't want you to take them away. But I want them to get that they are on this planet, but they're not part of that kingdom." Does that make sense? There's one world, one earth. And you know what? The earth is neutral. There is nothing wrong with the earth. We've screwed it up. At the fall, we screwed that up and the earth is deteriorating. But the earth is neutral. So an example is, okay, think about marijuana. Oh, talking about the meaning of life and marijuana in church. Oh, my goodness. And you're not meant to go to heaven. You are meant to go to heaven. You get what I mean with that. Okay, think about the marijuana plant. It is neutral. God created that plant. And my Bible tells me when God created stuff, it was good. He was happy with that. And I'm not going to tell you can all... Let me hear the whole thing. The plant is good. Brendan's worried. The plant is neutral. It's the kingdom that has control over the plant. In the hand of a doctor, that drug can be medicine. Yes? In the hand of a drug pusher, it is death. Whose fault is that? The plant? No. It's the kingdom that's controlling the plant. Earth is neutral. So don't tell me there's no such thing as a wicked car or that's a wicked dress. That's a wicked pair of shorts you're wearing, Melinda. There's nothing wrong with the shorts. There's nothing wrong with a dress. Imagine I came in here today. Maybe you shouldn't. Short dress, low, things that you shouldn't see. Guess what? There's nothing wrong with the dress. There's two things wrong. I'm wearing it and you're looking at it. But the dress is nothing. Okay? Do you get where I'm? So, it's about kingdom. It's a spiritual thing. There is one planet, there's two kingdoms, and there's a war going on. There is a war going on. And guess what? We are the legal now owners. We've got our territory back. The enemy is illegal. It's not about leaving here. It's about changing here. I want you to write that down. And if you're not writing it down, mental note, it's not about leaving here. It's about changing here. That's what kingdom is about. Think of the parable of the yeast. It has got to be the smallest parable in the Bible. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid it in three measures of meal till it was leavened. Whole story. All you cooks and chefs and bread makers will know that it doesn't matter how big the dough is, you put a little bit of yeast in that, it's going to affect the whole deal. Once it's in, you can't get it out, can you? Once yeast is in a bread or in a dough, you can't get it out. It's in there and it affects the whole thing. I was praying this morning before church and God actually showed me another picture, and it was of a piece of paper towel. I know that's pretty boring, but a piece of paper towel, think about that, a dry piece of paper towel. What happens when you drop a bit of water on it? It soaks it in and it affects the whole piece of paper towel. It all gets wet. That's what the kingdom of God is like. That's why you have to stay here, because we're about changing here. The kingdom is about influence. It is about influence. The enemy has possession of a territory that does not belong to him anymore. Colossians 2, 8 to 15. I'm going to read it to you. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. And when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and in him you were raised to new life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sin, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sin. Hear this. He cancelled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I love that scripture. The bit of paper, the deed that we handed over to Satan at the fall, Jesus took it back, he nailed it to the cross, he ripped it up, and he took it back for us. So Satan is illegal. And that's everything. There's not one bit that he has legally. None. None of it is his. As most of you know, Charlie's Dutch. Do you all know that Charlie's Dutch? He's a lovely Dutch man. He was not born in Australia. He was born in Holland. And his parents came to Australia when he was one. And when they came to Australia, they lived in Australia. But guess what? They were still Dutch. Just because they came to Australia didn't make them Australian. What made them Australian was the day they got naturalised. And they signed a legal document and they gave up all their Dutch rights and they took up all of their Australian rights and they were legally Australian citizens. So he is legal. He's been naturalised, not neutralised, naturalised. You have been naturalised when you were circumcised. That's hilarious. We're not going to cover circumcision. We've already done drugs and the meaning of life. We're not going there. When you were baptised, you were made into a new person. And when you were baptised, you gave up all your rights. You let them go and you took up new ones and you were born into a new kingdom. And guess what? Just because you live on earth, you still belong to that kingdom. Just because I travel to America doesn't make me American. Just because you live on earth doesn't make you under that kingdom. You are under the kingdom of God because you have been circumcised. I keep wanting to say that. Naturalized and born again. You've been born again. Why are we still living any other way? Why do we do that? We forget all the time. Part of being in a new kingdom, guess what our job is now? God's job description hasn't changed. He didn't rewrite Genesis. Nowhere in the Bible do I see a new job description for us. It's the same. He says, right, now I've come, I've set it right, the kingdom is yours, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing everybody into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds a lot to me like go, subdue, rule, multiply. They were the last instructions he gave the disciples. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me on heaven, in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Jesus says, I've done what I came here to do. I've restored the rightful order of things. Authority has been set right. The kingdom is yours again. Now go and take back the territory. That's what we've got to be doing. And so what does that mean, going and taking back the territory? What does that look like? That looks like where you work. That's what it looks like. Your yeast, where you work. There's no such thing as a Christian job. And if God gets you a job in a casino where they serve alcohol and gamble, and you say to me, that's not a very Christian job. I don't need you in here. We don't need you in here to influence us. We've already been influenced. They need you out there. And Jesus said that. He said, I didn't come to heal the well. I came to the sick. The sick need a doctor. And so we better be getting out there and being yeast. And yeast doesn't have to try very hard. It just does its thing. And that's what you need to do. We can get so overwhelmed. It's overwhelming out there, isn't it? It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming sometimes just in my street. In my house sometimes is overwhelming. I don't have to worry about that. I have to be a kingdom woman. That's what I have to worry about, kingdom. And man, sometimes I get so busy building my own kingdom, I forget all about his. Forget all about his kingdom. What am I doing today This is about priority, and this is the last thing I want to talk about. Our life manual, we have one. It's all written down. Our life manual, our constitution. This is our constitution. Man, people know their rights today, don't they? They know their rights. They know what the police can do and what they can't do, and they know their rights. Well, guess what? You better know your rights. You've got rights, did you? You've got rights. You've got rights in the kingdom. Jesus says, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. And you've got rights, and you better know what they are, because otherwise the devil comes to you and says, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. And you go, that sounds pretty good. And you've forgotten the right that you don't need the kingdoms of the world because you have the kingdom. We forget. We get caught up. We get caught up in building our own kingdoms. We get, you know, we go to jobs to earn money, to go on holidays because we've worked too hard. And, you know, we need to do that. We need, of course, I'm not saying, well, we all just sit around and, no, we need to go. But, you know, it's the kingdom's got to come into it. What have you done today? What are you going to do today for the kingdom? Are the decisions you're making today affect whose? They are affecting a kingdom, but whose? We get so busy building our own kingdom, so busy going out there to earn money because we're worried about we're not going to have enough food to eat, we're not going to have clothes to wear, and we're not going to have somewhere to live. And what does Jesus tell us? Don't worry about those things. He knew they were the very things that we'd get caught up with because they're our basic needs. We need somewhere to live. They're the necessities of life. We need drink and we need food and clothes to wear. And he knew we'd get caught up with that. And he never once says to us, you shouldn't have those things, but he says, you seek my kingdom first. Seek the right kingdom and I'll make sure you've got all that because I know you need it. Let's not be a church that's so worried about building our own kingdom that we forget about his kingdom. We've been given a territory. You've been given a territory to claim back. It's already yours. We just need to make a stand and claim some things back. And we've got the legal right. There is no way that if something happened to us in the natural and we were right, that we would give up. Do you know what I mean? We wouldn't just say, oh, well, okay, I suppose you can have it. No way. We would fight for our rights. That's not right. We see it all over the place where people are fighting for their rights. If someone came and tried to take my house off me and said, you know what, I think I'll take your house, I'd be like, I don't think so. That's my house. Legally, here's the bit of paper I signed that says I own it. We would not just give it away, but we do it with our things in the kingdom of God all the time. We give them over. The devil comes and goes, you know what, you don't feel so good. Here's a little sickness. And you go, okay, thank you very much. We belong to the kingdom of God. And we need to think like kingdom people. Yes, we need to think like kingdom people. Okay, we're going to pray now. We're going to do some kingdom business. We're going to pray for Tina this morning, and we're going to, you know, the Bible, the Constitution, the instruction book then goes on to tell us how to do kingdom life, how to influence our world. It tells us what exactly. Matthew is full of the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like this. Read it. The kingdom of God is like yeast. The kingdom of God is like a treasure. That's all Jesus taught. All he taught about was the kingdom. Everywhere he went, he taught about the kingdom. And he's restored the kingdom. We're going to pray for Tina. She's having surgery on Wednesday to fix carpal tunnel. We're going to anoint her with oil. The Bible tells us to do that. And we're going to let the king take care of his business. And, you know, we get so caught up too about, oh, but what if... You know, what if Tina still needs the operation after we pray for her? And what if, well, you know what? That's none of your business. None of your business. It's the king's business. We do what we're told. He tells us to believe, to pray, and we do that, and we leave, then we let it go and let him take care of his own business. Yes? Tina, do you want to come out? We're going to do that. So maybe if Dave and Bev, if you want to do that for Tina, and while you're doing that, we'll just pray. Is that okay? So, and I'd like everybody else to stand. And so what do I want you to go away with today? I want you to go away with, it's not about leaving here. It is not about leaving here. It's about changing here. And you are an influence. You are an influence. People are looking at you. And you don't have to do anything special out of the ordinary. What you need to do is be a kingdom person. Know what God says, what you should be doing, and do that. Talk like a kingdom person. Act like a kingdom person. It's about bringing his will from earth to heaven. It's not about us just hanging on here till we get to be with him. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you, God, that... Oh, God, sometimes we're so silly. God, sometimes we get ideas in our head and we think we've got you figured out. We haven't got you figured out. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But God, what we do say is we are willing, God. We want to learn about you. We want to learn about your kingdom. We want to be kingdom people. And kingdom, God, you've shown us was your design. It was your purpose. This earth, what you created, Lord God, was good. You were very happy with it, Lord God. You are happy with us, Lord. And your original plan and purpose hasn't changed. And God, one day, when there is a new earth, when you have created a new heaven, when you have created a new earth, we will rule and reign perfectly as you wanted us to from the beginning, Lord God. And while we are here on this earth, Lord God, we determine that we will be yeast, Lord God. We will be the light of this world and we will be yeast. We will influence this world, Lord God, and for your kingdom. So God, I pray for each and every person in this house this morning that as they walk through their territory, that you've planted them in, that they would be infectious, Lord God, that they would infect people. I want them to be contagious, Lord God. I want them to be like the common cold, Lord God, that as they walk about, as they brush up against people, as we brush up against people, as we speak to people, and as we speak your words, and as we live our lives as kingdom citizens with kingdom rights, Lord God, we will influence and we will affect this world for your kingdom, Lord God. We want to take back that territory, enemy. We say to you, Mombok does not belong to you. Our homes do not belong to you. And you have no rights and you must go now. And we will not just leave that place empty. We will go in and we bring the kingdom of God with us when we go. So I pray for us this week, Lord God, a fresh revelation of what it looks like to be kingdom people, of what it looks like to be kingdom children of the Most High God, and that we would live, that we would walk and we would talk like kingdom people. And I thank you for that in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and restored and found and renewed that which was lost. We thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombok Christian Fellowship.